Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. The website is getretiredstayretired.com. All right, Craig, what questions do you have for me? I'm here to answer all of the economic questions of the day. Go ahead.
Recession or no recession?
I don't like the way this is working out. What do you think the answer to that is?
I think everyone's worried in 22 that we were going to have a recession. They said the same thing in 23 and the same thing in 24. It was possible. It just wasn't probable. When I think about what's unfolded since the Rose Garden, what I tell people is this. There's an equal risk to a recession as there is to simply slower growth. And that's the reason investors around the globe are pausing, reassessing, and seeking strategy.
I wonder what the value of the markets are going to be in 6 months or 90 days or soon. You know, I'm still living in la-la land where this is a self-inflicted aberration and that we will recover. I wonder if that's true, and I wonder what that looks like.
I think there's actually – here, I can't answer – now through June, because I think the markets are going to remain extremely volatile for the duration of April and May and into the end of June. I think the administration and other nations know that they need to get some cooperation and they need to deliver clarity over what's going to be quarter two, the second quarter of the year. But there's a good chance with what's been put in motion, if we just end up settling on 10% tariffs across the board with lower energy prices, Federal Reserve rate cuts to come, we can't undeny the strength of the U.S. economy coming into this. I think there's a good chance equity prices can recover to where they started the year by year-end 2025.
So in other words, the disruption will not have been in place long enough to completely compromise supply chains and trade deals, that it'll be a bump. But if we accept, and by we, you know who I mean, a 10% or something like that tariff, we could recover.
Yeah, I think that's just it. And I don't want to be dismissive in any way, shape, or form of what's happened. It is significant. And, John, sharp declines in U.S. equity indices, they're unsettling, but they're far from unprecedented. I mean, historically, we've had similar sell-offs, what I call waterfall events, washouts, some 14 other times in the past century. And the truth is, we just need clarity because this isn't structural. It's not cyclical. Yeah. It's man-made. Man-made.
The president's got about 150 trade deals he needs to hammer out then in 90 days, and that's not including China. But do you think it's possible, and I hope it's possible, that it won't be a 10% tariff. It'll be higher than that. That will not only save face, but will save money as a result. We're going to get more out of Europe and the rest of the world as a result of this. It's just not going to be as high or as bad as it feels right now. But that, in fact, this will work. The major players will come to us. They will reduce the tariffs on our goods. We might be able to enact tariffs on them, and it'll solve some of the problems that all of this nonsense set out to address.
It's possible. I mean, John, anything's possible. There's a lot of things that are possible, but that's one narrative, one viewpoint that could definitively play out. We'll have to see. The issue for Wall Street, the issue for investors is this about level setting global trade? Is this about raising income for the United States in order to pay down deficits and budget score tax cuts? Is this about this? Is it about that? None of us know, because you can't reveal the end goal without revealing the process, which in and of itself ends up hindering the art of the deal, the negotiation. So we're going to see what unfolds over the next 60 to 90 days at the most.
I think the process is playing out before your very eyes. There is no plan. There is only the latest reaction to what the process is creating. And here's a number that you sent to us. Pessimism over inflation soared as the one-year inflation expectations jumped to 6.7%, the highest since 1981. Who is saying that inflation is going to go to 6.7%?
Well, the Federal Reserve is not saying it. I am not saying it, but consumers, the U.S. Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, and again, it's sentiment. It's how people feel. People are very worried about inflation. People are very worried because of what they hear in the news. And this is not just two-dimensional chess. This is three- or four-dimensional chess. I don't think we're heading to year-over-year 6% inflation rates. If we were, you'd see it in the bond market. You'd see it in the Treasury Inflation Protection Security market. But it doesn't change that U.S. consumers fear that prices will be substantively higher, the highest since 1981.
Craig, what do you think the operative numbers or wrinkles in the news are going to be that will drive the markets for the next 90 days during this pause? What do you think is going to happen, or what's going to be decisive?
Well, it's not going to be the jobs data. Last week, the jobs data was nothing short of fantastic. Market didn't care. It's not going to be the inflation data. In case people missed it, the inflation data came down yet again today. Nobody really cares. It's going to be nothing more than posts that are on Truth Social, because that's where the news source now comes from, and looking at trade. We are affectionately stuck in a trading range now until we get clarity on where trade is going to land.
So you think where we are now is kind of where it's going to be until we emerge from whatever this 90-day pause is going to be. Don't expect 44 on the Dow. Maybe don't expect 35 on the Dow, but kind of where we are right now in the high 30s.
Yeah, I think we've seen that. I think we've seen potentially the intraday lows. We got them earlier in the week. We saw the massive reversal that came, not on policy, but just on pause. And that should be a reminder to people that just as quickly as things come down, they can quickly spring and recover back up. Remember, we had a 12% move in the NASDAQ in a single day and almost a 10% move in the S&P 500. So yes, John, a perfectly defined trading range now.
Would you buy gold right now?
Well, everyone's buying gold, and let's talk about who's buying gold. There's news all over, cable news, online, that the world is no longer going to be the reserve currency, that treasuries are no longer the place to go. There's not another currency that's going to step up and be the world currency. But what we've seen is a movement where other central banks around the globe, and this has been happening for some time, are trying to diversify, and part of their diversification has been buying things like gold as a reserve asset. I don't think that ends anytime soon, and I think gold has worked as a classic hedge against market volatility, and that's created this insatiable demand with the metal moving past 3,200 an ounce recently.
You think it's peaked? I mean, you think you'd still buy at this price?
I think what happens is this. It's really interesting to look maybe at some gold mining stocks, not necessarily just the spot price of gold. What gold does for an investor in a portfolio is it's like taking Tylenol. It's not going to cure anything, but having some on hand makes you feel better temporarily.
With all this money fleeing the market, do you think that this is a good time to, if anybody has any money that they're willing to invest, put it in some sort of index fund? I mean, geez, the markets are so low, it's not unreasonable to hope that unless we continue to shoot ourselves in the foot, things are going to get better. And they're down so low, this would be easy pickings. I've heard from some people who are very interested in buying right now.
I think you always have to have perspective. If history is our guide, and it's the only guide I have, crises bring opportunity. I mean, we've had 24 corrections. That's a decline of 10% or more in the last 80 years. We've had 14 bear markets in the last 80 years. And every single time, for those who are patient and those who are prospective, it's been a chance to grow and compound wealth. But I want to just pause and say, no one needs to be a hero. This is no time for bravery. Instead, use what's occurred to reassess, look at your portfolio, your risk budget, then your risk tolerance, and if you have the cash flow and the budget, look to make some purchases as you indicated.
You think those unemployment numbers are going to shift when we start to see the Doge people filter through?
You know, I think we just created more than 200,000 jobs again last month. That shows the underlying resilience of this U.S. economy as we came in. But it's only going to be natural from here that we're going to gradually see that unemployment rate grind higher. But having an unemployment rate, you know, what I call non-farm payrolls, that goes from 4.2 to 4.3 to 4.4, that's not going to be a problem, because in the history of America, we average between 5.2 and 5.7. And don't forget, seeing an increase in the unemployment rate is going to have the Federal Reserve step in the second half of the year, and no one should fight the Fed if they're an investor.
Craig Bolanos is the co-founder and the wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. Get retired, stay retired.com's his website. Okay, nice to talk to you. Thanks for your help today, Craig.
You're welcome, John.